Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Nani Coloretti, Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. So, Nani, in the previous segment, we were kind of talking about the opportunity agenda, all the programs that HUD has that's helping customers and our citizens. And I like to turn inwards to HUD and how you're helping HUD operationally. And I believe when you first started, right out of the gate, you did a operational management review, what you called earlier the deep dives. Yeah. Would you tell us more about this effort? What were some of the key weaknesses and strengths identified from this effort? And how have you responded?
Yeah, sure. So this was basically a way to sort of jump right in to HUD and understand, how is it snapping together and are things working for our employees, for our stakeholders, for the people that we serve? And in most instances, people did not feel like it was easy to get things done. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, it is hard to get a policy or program implemented or just an operation implemented in a government setting. There are a lot of rules that are not made by you mm-hmm. as the agency, right? So we have a bunch of personnel rules that are sort of in law implemented by the Office of Personnel Management. We have to answer to those. We have it's hard to buy things, mm-hmm. right? Procurement rules are governed by the federal acquisition regulations sort of the General Services Administration, GSA, and the Office of Management and Budget, and quite frankly, the Department of Defense, who has most of the procurement in the mix, really kind of drive those rules. So you basically find yourself when you're, let's just say you're a first-line federal manager, you find yourself not spending time on the mission and the program that you want to do, but actually on how am I going to hire someone or how am I going to purchase something or can I get my work done? Can I implement things? What IT solutions do I have and so forth? And that was my theory, but I basically did a massive listening tour and a conversation with as many people as I could, both inside and outside of HUD. For example, we did a town hall with every region and with all of HUD, too, and headquarters, and really kind of distilled some of these operational challenges into a few areas that I mentioned earlier, which are really sort of in this leadership and sort of leadership engagement and collaboration, accountability and customer service and resource management. But there are the way that we have sort of arrayed what we're doing next. So the trick about this is we've done this deep dive. We've defined a few things I'll talk about in a second. But the trick is really that it's ongoing. So we've set forth a number of work streams or projects and basically have created small teams around each project.
Sure.
And working, hand in hand with the career leadership of the agency and career managers and just career staff, because these are the folks that many people have been at HUD for 20, 30 years, and they know what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I am there for just another 18 months, and so really trying to partner with folks who are on the ground, who know what's going on, but also trying to give lift to some of these ideas. So, for example, we have a big focus on a leadership development and succession planning. Like many federal agencies, the majority of our SESers are GS-15s and 14s. These are the higher level managers are eligible to retire in the next 5 years. And so that leaves a big gap if you're not planning ahead for it. So we have already established what we call a candidate development program for SES. That is a year and a half program that's competitive to get into for HUD's managers, their GS-15s, but start to kind of grow some of the people that will be ready to take on some of these leadership roles if and when they are available. But also spending some time with the SES. I met with every single career SESer. It's a manageable number. There are 86 of them.
Okay.
And I met with them each for 15 minutes because I really think that the agency is going to succeed if the leadership can do it. And so I feel like supporting, understanding what's going on at that level and supporting that level of work is really going to be a key leverage point. So that's one set of work that we're doing, which is really focusing on leadership. And we also are putting together, this came from the field, required manager training on both management and leadership. And quite frankly, managers are asking for this too. And it reminds me that like one of the loneliest jobs is like a frontline or second line supervisor in the federal government, where you're basically expected to deliver on all of the mission and also make sure that you understand labor law and how to buy stuff, you know, and don't make any mistakes because you get into big trouble, right? And so we're putting together classes that will help people sort of understand, you know, what the rules are and how to navigate and how to actually be a better coach for their staff as well, so that people will we can create the kind of environment, the kind of conditions where people can really do their best work. Because while there are constraints, you can still do quite a lot of things in the federal government, and you have great scope and scale. So that's sort of the leadership and engagement, collaboration. In addition to collaboration, we learned that there was this body of work that we've called sort of headquarters field collaboration. This is, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, about 2/3 of our staff are in the field. So that's a management challenge just because you're all in the same place. But it's compounded by the fact that the way HUD is managed is through these silos. So you report up the chain to public and Indian housing, or you report up the chain to the Federal Housing Administration. It makes it hard for the field offices and the regional offices. It can be sometimes challenging to sort of get up your chain to headquarters and get things done. It's a lot of this work is cross-silo. Much of it is because there's just so much overlap when you're really trying to solve hard problems like homelessness. Mm-hmm. And community is very cross-siloed. So we have several working groups working on improving our processes between headquarters and the field, mm-hmm. and also improving our internal communication and our internal communications, and then finding ways to embed the place-based work that we're doing, and I can talk about a little bit later. Another thing that we're doing from the deep dive is really focusing on support office service delivery. And what support office is, what I mean by that is the chief financial officer, mm-hmm. the chief human capital officer, or HR as we call it, chief information officer, the chief procurement officer. We're basically doing a project in each of these areas. So in information technology and IT, we're really pushing on enterprise IT because mm-hmm. we're, you know, if we're really going to be one HUD, we should sort of find efficiencies and savings in that. In the hiring plan, we have this very onerous hiring plan where you create it, you send it to human capital, the Chico, they send it to the CFO, and then it kicks back through probably 2-3 rounds of that before you can hire anyone. And so HUD normally does not start its fiscal year hiring until way, way, way later in the year, which seems like, oh, what's the big deal? But then what happens is, you know, they can never hire up the staff that they need because you start to, you know, lose time by having that kind of onerous process. So we're focusing like a laser on processes such as those in all of the operational areas to try to improve. And then we also sort of change some of our governance structure to better do resource management. Mm-hmm. So we're doing quarterly management reviews. So in addition to the HUDstat mm-hmm. quarterly reviews, we're doing almost like a management suite of metrics. Mm-hmm. Figure out whether we're meeting our operational goals, and also where we're are we executing on our budget? Are we hiring the people we need to hire on? So we're basically checking on that also every quarter.
So another way you're actually realizing some efficiencies or planning to realize some efficiencies is pursuing shared services. And actually, your old agency, I think, is your old department is going to be taking over your core financial management system, as I understand it. Could you tell us a little bit more about the effort, what this entails, and how is it going to help HUD's financial management and internal controls?
Yeah. So, look, we, like many agencies, had a couple of failed efforts at HUD to replace our financial, our core system. Mm-hmm. This is why this project's called New Core. Our core financial system is outdated and quite frankly no longer supported. So that means when a system is no longer supported, it means that you, as the agency, have insourced it and you're supporting it yourself with feds, and it's not a good situation to be in. So we have already transitioned our back office hiring processes to the Treasury Department. The Treasury Department has a shared service. There are several agencies out there that run a shared service environment. Treasury is one of them. The Bureau of Fiscal Service runs this. Mm-hmm. And so in addition to doing our human capital processing, we are expecting to, in this coming fiscal year, transition all of our financial processing to Treasury. So they will, we will no longer be processing our payments through the HUD system. We'll be processing them through Treasury system. It seems like a small thing, but it's actually a large, huge change management project because it means everybody has to change the way they do their work. But what you get in place of that is a couple of things that really do help with the audit and internal controls. When you work with a shared services provider, there are many benefits. One of them is that, you know, their financial management practices and process, you adopt those. Mm-hmm. So, and Treasury's has been audited quite a bit because not only are they a shared service provider, but Treasury also processes all the bills of the entire federal government. So they are the best practice in financial management. So we are adopting their process and their checks and balances, which I think will help greatly with both internal controls and just general financial management reconciliation of our money. So that'll be a huge, huge benefit. The other benefit to moving to shared services is you update with everybody. So there are a number of other agencies that are sort of residing on this system, this IT system. When it is time for an upgrade, you're sort of funding the upgrade together. And so when things happen through the system, so the federal government went to a new travel service provider, and that's always really painful because for 10 years we were using one system and now the entire federal government
change
is using
management.
Exactly. And it's like change management across the whole federal government. But I happen to know that at Treasury, at BFS, they were able to upgrade everybody all at once instead of having kind of fits and starts. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the benefit. I mean, there are down the road savings for doing shared services, but it isn't the only reason why you do it. You do it for process improvements, too.
How is HUD using partnerships and collaboration to meet its mission? We will ask Nani Coloretti, its deputy secretary, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.